This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Today, I want to focus on a cure that can heal all wounds. Amen? And somebody say a cure that can heal all wounds. I'm trying to get you focused today. Amen? And this cure is in the center of the gospel. This cure is what brings life to our faith. This cure I'm talking about is the most powerful force in the universe. Can anybody tell me what this cure is? You can say the word of God. Amen. We can say Jesus. Amen. And I'm trying to set it up today. Amen. So this cure I'm talking about is called what I call the love cure. Can somebody say love? Amen. We are in February, and this is normally the month of love. Valentine's coming up, and where we love the people that we share our lives with. And so love is the greatest force in the universe. Do you believe that today? Amen. And thus my sermon title is that love cures all wounds. Amen. Do you believe that today? I'm telling you, a lot of sick people, and there's even sick people in the church, and a lot of times they're sick is because they're harboring ill will and bitterness towards other people. They're holding on to hurts and pains, and they're holding on, and what's causing their sickness is because they're holding on to unforgiveness. And we got to learn to walk in love. Look at your neighbor and say, walk in love. Amen. And so God's love responded can heal all wounds. Amen. So when we grasp the love of God, amen, in our lives, we'll be able to receive the healing power of God working in our lives. Because love and faith works hand in hand. You cannot have faith without love. And you cannot have love without faith. And you say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? It takes faith to love. A lot of people don't realize that. But it takes faith to love, especially the unlovely. It's easy to love those that love you. But when you're encountering people that don't like you, when you're encountering people that are talking about you, or people that are doing things against you, then it takes faith to walk in love towards these people. Doesn't it? In other words, it takes faith. Faith is this, is that you're trusting God that he's going to take care of that situation no matter what they did to you. It takes faith. In other words, you're trusting God. You're not going to handle it yourself. You don't, you know, some say, I don't get mad, I get even. You don't even the score. Amen. God's the one that evens the score. Amen. And so if we're going to walk in the love of God, and really that's paramount. Love is the key. You know that one famous singer, what does love has to do with it? You know, and that was Tina Turner that sang that song. What's love got to do with it, right? It's a single hand emotion, right? And but love has everything to do with it. Love has everything to do with our life. You know, when you think about Christianity, you know, some people say, well, I'm a Christian, and some people, you know, would categorize that as it's a religion. Christianity is a religion, you know, but it's more than just a religion. It's a relationship. So it's not just a religion. Amen. It's not just rules that we follow. Amen. It's a relationship that we build with God. Is that right? So it's not that we go to church and we follow the rules so that we can obtain the goodness of God. No, we love God, and out of our love, we follow the rules. Because we love God, we want to obey God. Is that right? And because we love God, we want to serve God willingly, not unwillingly. Is that right? In other words, I want you to come to church because you want to come to church and not because you have to come to church. See, if you have to come to church, then you turn it into a legal thing. But if you get to come to church, then that's a whole different thing. Amen? And that's how you can receive more from God. Somebody say, I want to receive more from God. Amen. That's the most important thing we can do is receive from God. Amen. And love is the door opener that helps us receive the grace of God in our lives. So I'm going to read to you a scripture, and I believe this scripture is really powerful. It's a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church. And this was a Spirit-led prayer. This was a prayer that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, in this prayer, it talks about love. And this is something that we need to get a grasp on, because I don't know about you, but the Bible actually says it this way, that if you're going to live this life, it's impossible that offenses, that you're not going to be offended every once in a while. It's offenses will come to everybody. That's what the Bible says. But we don't stay offended. Amen. We let go and let God. Amen. And so I love this prayer that the Apostle Paul, he prayed for the church. I try to pray this prayer every day, and I try to follow Paul's prayer. And it says in Ephesians 3:16 and 19, it said through 19, it says that he would grant you, talking about Father God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That's powerful. That's powerful. In other words, what he's saying here is that God can strengthen us. We don't go by our power. We go by God's power.
Amen.
Amen? We're empowered by God. You know, we're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Amen.
You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Amen.
Amen. You might not be able to do too many things if you don't have Christ strengthening you. Amen. But you can do all things. Amen. So I love that. So he's praying a prayer that's asking God to strengthen us in our inner man by Spirit. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. So you're not going by your own power this morning if you have Jesus on the inside. You're going with Jesus' power. Can somebody say Jesus' power? I love that. Then Paul goes into here. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Amen. And you must have faith to please God. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I love that. So he's saying here that we need to get a comprehension. First, we need to be rooted, and we need to be grounded in God's love. And then we need to comprehend, amen? We need to comprehend God's love, and it's all wrapped up in what Jesus did for us. It's all wrapped up with Jesus going to the cross. That's God's love. See, some people won't love God until they see their prayers answered. I'm going somewhere today. In other words, they're saying, well, if my prayer gets answered, then I'm going to go to church. Why don't you go to church before your prayer gets answered?
Amen.
Well, if my prayer gets answered, then I'm going to read my Bible. Why don't you read your Bible before your prayer gets answered? In other words, is your love predicated on what God does for you or what he has already done for you? I'm going somewhere today. Because God has already done something for us. But some of us are waiting. Well, when God does something for me, then I'm going to start loving him. Hey, I'm going to give you a clue. He has already done something for you. He sent his son Jesus on the cross for our sins. We should be just thanking. If that's all we get out of this life, then that's enough. If we don't get prosperity, if we don't even get our healing, if we don't get that, as long as we get our sins washed away, and that we have a home in heaven, we won.
Amen.
all the other things that we get are side benefits. Our sins being washed away is the big benefit. See, most of us aren't focused on that. We're focused on our big breakthrough. See, no, don't be focused on the big breakthrough, and then that's when you're going to love God. No. If you can't love God before the breakthrough, guess what? When you get the breakthrough, you'll worship the breakthrough and not God. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. In other words, you'll be so happy about your breakthrough that you don't even think about God anymore. But really, God doesn't want that breakthrough. Like, remember what the Lord said? The Lord said to the Israelites, he said, you know what? You guys are coming out of poverty. You're coming out of slavery, and you're coming into a promised land. And he said, I'm going to bring you out of this. And that's what God does for all of us when we get saved. We come out of poverty. We come out of slavery from the devil. And then God starts bringing us up and bringing us into what I call the promised land. And so we go into the promised land and we start receiving some promises. But the Lord said to the Israelites, don't forget about me when you get all the blessings. Don't forget about me because I'm the one that helped you get those blessings. And so he had to remind them. And guess what they did? They forgot about God. They forgot about God. And guess what God had to do? God had to do some judgment, you know, had to allow the enemies to come in. They had to be dispersed, you know, and then they finally start worshiping God again. How come when it gets hard, we start worshiping God? Why can't we worship God when it's not hard? Amen. Amen. And so we need to be focused on this prayer. And this prayer is that Christ would dwell in our hearts, that we'd be rooted and grounded in God's love, and that we'd get a revelation of the width, the length, the depth, and the height of his love towards us in the body of Christ. We need to get that revelation. Because if you are rooted and grounded in God's love, you'll be able to receive anything from God. Amen. And it won't matter how bad your day is going. Because when you know that God loves you in spite of the bad day, you're going to make it. Amen. And see, the devil, what he tries to do is make you think that God doesn't love you. If God really loved you, you wouldn't be going through this. Right? Is that how the devil plays it? If God really loves you, Jesus, you could turn these stones into bread. If you're really the Son of God, remember what Satan said to Jesus when he was in the wilderness. If God really loves you, then you could turn these stones to bread. But then what did Jesus say? He said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. I love that. And so I'm going to read some scripture today. Hopefully they'll get us rooted and grounded in God's love. Because I believe that love is the connector of every blessing in our life. I'm going to say it again. Love is the connector of every blessing in our life. You don't even come to church. Really, we don't really supposed to be coming to church for ourselves. We're supposed to be coming to church for others. In other words, we're supposed to come in to be able to give something. Amen. Give our praise to God. Hey, give a hug and a kind word to somebody when we have meet and greet. Amen. Be able to give into the offering to let God know how much you love him because he has prospered you. So we don't come in just to get something. We come in to give something. And the most miserable Christian on planet Earth is the one that takes all the time and never gives. I'm going somewhere today. And I'm not looking at takers today. I'm looking at givers. You love to give to God, and you love to give to others. Amen? Glory to God. I love that. And so let's look at this scripture here. If we're going to walk in the love of God, we got to walk in faith. And faith is always connected to love. Remember what a great faith chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and the Apostle Paul is talking about these great gifts of the Spirit you can walk in. You can have faith that moves mountains. You can do mighty miracles. You can even have your body be burned. But he says, if you don't have love, it profits you nothing. Think about that. You can do all this sacrifice, but you can sacrifice in pride instead of love. And I want to sacrifice in love and not pride. Amen. Pride says, look at me. Love says, look at God. Amen. Is that good today? Pride says, look at me. Love says, look at God. Amen. And so in Galatians 5, verse 6, it says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Talking about the works of the law. In that day, Paul was writing a letter, and some of the religious Jews were trying to get people under the law. And he was trying, and the religious Jews were trying to get some of the Gentiles that weren't Jewish people to get circumcised. They said, you got to follow the law of Moses. But, you know, we know it's grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. Somebody say grace alone, Christ, faith alone, Christ alone. So it's by faith we're saved, not by works. And so Paul is addressing this in this particular passage, and he's saying, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. It doesn't mean anything if you're doing it under the law. If you're trying to be a legalistic person, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a hoot. Amen. But faith working through love. Okay? That's the key. Our faith should be motivated by love. You come to church because you love God. You come to church because you love people. You come to church because you want to show how much you love God and reveal that God. And then when you show how much God loves you, or you love him, he will show you how much he loves you. You believe that today? God reciprocates our love. So Paul is saying pure faith works by love. So if we're not walking in love towards God or towards people, then our faith won't work to receive healing or any other provision from God. So love is the key that keeps the curse away. Do you believe that today? Because one step out of love is one step into sin. And when we're walking out of love and we're walking in sin, that's one step into judgment. Amen? That's one step of an open door for the devil to work in our lives. Now, I'm not saying just because you're sick because you walked out of love. No, the devil will attack you even if you're walking in love. So the devil, you know, he will attack you either way, but walking out of love can cause the devil to attack you. And so we got to look at your name and say, stay in love. So walking out of God's love is breaking the love law. And when we break the love law, the curse of sickness and lack can enter our lives. So how do we fulfill walking in God's love? Paul explains it in these verses that I'm going to read. In Galatians 5, 13 and 15, it says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Notice that he's saying, brethren, you're called to liberty, but don't allow your freedom to be used to do whatever you want to do. Amen. In other words, we use our freedom to serve God. We don't use our freedom to serve ourselves. I'm going somewhere. That's a good statement. In other words, we're not called to serve ourselves. We're called to serve God. Amen? And so when you get out of yourself and start serving others, that's when your life will start moving forward. That's when you will come out of depression. You will come out of all these issues because you're not focused on yourself anymore. You're focused on others. See, depressed people are focused on themselves. Is that right? People that are depressed, they're saying, oh, woe is me. They're having a pity party. And they focus on themselves. But people that are in joy and peace in Christ, they're focused on God and they're focused on others. And so when you're focused on and busy on focus on loving God and focus on blessing others, you'll see God's grace in your life. So he's saying here, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for your flesh. The flesh is also known as your lower nature. It's the old man. It's what you came out of. Don't go back to what you came out of. Don't go back into the world. Amen. Then he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. It's interesting that things never change. It's interesting that the Bible is timeless. That the problems they had back then are the same problems that we have today. That's why you see the Bible is not this old dusty book, you know, that's out of date and that's not relevant for today. It's very relevant for today. And so if you just take the Bible and you read it, basic instructions before leaving earth, it will help you live this life and a successful life in Jesus. So walking in love can bring walking out of love can bring a curse of sickness or lack in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I want healing to be abundant in my life. And healing is brought about by us walking in love towards God and walking in love towards others. Some may believe sickness and lack is a blessing to perfect the saints. Have you ever heard of that? Well, you know, God's allowing you to be sick so you can get closer to God. That's what some believe. Some people teach that in some churches, that God's allowing you. But if that was the case, why did Jesus heal everybody that was sick? Because if God was working some kind of perfection in people's lives, wouldn't Jesus have shut down some of these people that asked for healing? And there's no place in the Bible that Jesus shut anybody down from healing, that Jesus healed all that came to him that wanted to be healed. So if that was a case that you could make, then Jesus should have said to somebody that wanted healing, no, God's working a work in you to perfect you. But see, Jesus never said that to any of these people. No, Jesus came, and this is the key. Some people say Jesus came to heal people to show his divinity. Some may say that. But I don't really believe Jesus came to heal people to show how divine he was or that he was the Son of God. Even though it does reveal that, he said the works that he does reveal that he's from God. But I believe the reason why Jesus came to heal people was to show the love of God. It was to show the love of God. In other words, Jesus wanted to reveal to people that God is not this hard God that's ready to judge, but he's a forgiving, merciful God that we serve. Amen. So Jesus came to show the love of God. You got it? Amen. Jesus came. Jesus performed miracles not to show how great he was, but to show how great God is. Can we get a revelation on that? And so Jesus did that. Amen. And so that's powerful. So God's word perfects us, and sickness and lack does not make us better. Sometimes it makes us worse. Because when you're sick, don't you want everybody waiting on you? When you're sick, a lot of times when you get sick, you want, you got to wait on me. Hey, get me this, get me that, you know, and we get selfish in our sickness. Have you ever gotten selfish in your sickness? Amen. You want people to start serving you? And no, you know, when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law that had a fever, I don't know if you remember that story, but Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law when they were at her house, and she got healed by Jesus, and she was sick in bed. And she got up immediately and started serving the people in the house. So when you get healed, what is the first thing you need to start doing? Serving people. When you get healed, it's not about serving yourself. It's about serving people. Amen. I love that. So again, God perfects us with his word. I love what it says in Psalms 19, 7 through 11. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, righteous altogether, more to be desired than gold, yea, much fine gold, sweeter also than honey of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. So what am I saying today? I'm saying that God's word does all this. The law of the Lord is perfect. God's word converts our soul. Amen? That his word makes sure the testimony that we speak of him. It makes us wise. Amen? It's his word that perfects us, not sickness, not pain, not all this stuff that some theologians might try to tell you. Just glorify God in your sickness. No, I want to glorify God in my health. Amen. I want to glorify God when I get healed. Now, I'm not saying, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. You should be praising God while you're sick. If you're sick, you need to start praising God. Because you start praising and thanking him, then you're going to see healing in your life. And so we should be praising him, but we should even be praising him even more when we see the healing. Amen. I love that. So let's look at what God's love has redeemed us from. Because in Galatians 3:13-14, it says here, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. So I love this scripture here, because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. And so that curse is really threefold. It's spiritual death, it's sickness and poverty, and we're redeemed from those things. Say, I'm redeemed. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. See, when you start talking about redemption, you start talking about healing instead of sickness, you start focusing on prosperity instead of poverty, you're going to see the grace of God in your life in those areas. The problem is that we tend to speak what we're dealing with instead of what we're believing God for. I'm going to say it again. We tend to speak what we're dealing with. Well, how are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling mighty low. You know, we tend to speak what we're feeling instead of what we should be believing. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And you cannot live your life by feelings. You have to live your life by faith. It's not by sight that we live our life by. It's by faith. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. But a lot of times we're in a natural body and we're in everything's natural around us. And we're evaluating everything through our mind, and we're measuring everything out. And we see truth as what is happening to us. But that may not be truth. Because truth is what God's working on the inside of us, not what the devil's trying to put on the outside of us. Amen. Truth is what God's working on the inside of us, not what the devil's trying to put on the outside of us. Yes, Lord, can I get a witness in the house today? That's truth. Truth is by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Amen. That's truth. Amen. And so when we start understanding that God's word is more true, the Bible says, let every man be a liar and God's word be true. In other words, let every circumstance that we deal with, we got to filter it through the word of God and allow God's word to be more greater than the circumstances that we're dealing with. And when we understand that God's word is greater, it will raise us up out of those losing circumstances that we might be going through. Amen? I love that. Now let's look at some verses Because I'm going to say this, the curse of law is threefold. Spiritual death, that's separation from God. Sickness and poverty. I like what it says in Romans 3, 23 and 26. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, when you read that, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that tells you that there's nobody on this planet that's really good. In other words, a lot of people say, I don't need Jesus, I can just be good. If I just live a good life, then I can make it to heaven. No, that ain't going to work, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, there's none of us good enough or better than Jesus. If you can be better than Jesus, you can make it in. But none of you are better than Jesus. Is that right? If you start thinking you are, you're in trouble. Amen? And I'll have an altar call at the end of the service. And he's saying that all have sinned and fallen short at the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because of his forbearance. God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate the present time his righteousness, that he might be just as a justifier, as the one who has faith in Jesus. This is a lot of words here. But what he's saying is, while you were basically in sin, cursing God, doing everything wrong, Jesus died for you. In other words, it wasn't predicated on how good you were. Jesus died for the sinful people. He died for each one of us. So we didn't have to get good to get God. We had to get Jesus to get good. Amen. And so Jesus looked over the sins of the people, and God the Father looked over and went ahead and paid the price. And so he paid the price so that we could receive eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. That's sickness, poverty. Amen. And spiritual death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So we are redeemed. We're even redeemed from the poverty of lack. I love that. So once you understand that, you don't have to be poor no more. Amen. Because God wants you blessed. Somebody say, God wants me blessed. And so that's why he invented tithing and giving offerings. It wasn't for his sake, it was for your sake. Why? So you can bless the kingdom so he can bless your kingdom. Amen. Because God's more interested in he's interested in his kingdom, but if you get interested in his kingdom, he gets interested in your kingdom. You believe that today? Amen. And the Bible says that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And so where your money is, your treasure is also. And so if you're putting your money in the kingdom, then that's saying that you value God more than money. And if you value God more than money, then God won't hold anything back from you, because money doesn't have a hold on you. God does. Can I get a witness in the house? Amen. In Galatians 3:29, it says, if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. We have the blessing of Abraham on our life. And that blessing is relationship with God through the blood of Jesus. That blessing is divine health. Abraham lived a good long time. Amen. And that blessing is divine wealth. Abraham was wealthy. And so we have those blessings. Amen. I love that. And let's look at what the love of God moved on Jesus to do. And that was to go to the cross. And it was all predicated on loving people. Jesus went to the cross because he loves us. What held Jesus up on the cross wasn't the nails, was the love that he has for us. Amen. I'm going to say it again. What held Jesus up on that cross wasn't the nails, but it's the love that he had for us and for the Lord when he was on the cross. He says, surely, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This is powerful. He's saying here that Jesus bore our griefs, our sicknesses, carried our sorrows and our pains. Because you can translate that because it was in Hebrew. So you can say sorrows and pains and sicknesses and griefs. In other words, you don't have to be, depressed another day in your life. You don't have to have a down day another day in your life. Every day can be an up day in God. You don't have to have another sick day, another day of your life. You can have healing days. Amen. Why? Because Jesus loved us so much, he was ready and he did endure our griefs, carried our sorrows, our sicknesses and pains. It looked like he was stricken by God, looked like he was smitten by God. But you know what? The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Put your faith in the now. Don't say, Lord, heal me tomorrow, or Lord, please heal me now. No, positionally, by his stripes, you are healed. Put your faith in now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is always in the now, never in the future. Faith is now. So you just start thanking God. If you're dealing with an affliction in your body, if you're dealing with pain or sickness, start thanking God. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. And guess what's going to happen? The power of God's going to hit you. It's going to wipe out any sickness, any weakness in your life. And I'm telling you, you're going to be walking in wholeness, soundness, preservation, protection, and eternal life. I love that. And I love that because I love in Matthew 8:16-17, it says, when evening has come, they brought to Jesus many who were demon possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So we see here that Jesus, he didn't just have a teaching ministry. Some people think, oh, Jesus taught all these wonderful messages. He was a great teacher, but he was also a great healer. He was also a person that delivered people from demonic oppression. He came not just to teach a good message, something that you can chew on, but he came so that he could set you free from anything that might be ailing you. Glory to God. So what do we need to do? We need to walk in the love of God. We need to get a revelation. What Jesus has done for us, he did it because he loved us. Amen. He loves you. Amen? So what do we got to do? We got to walk in the love of God. I like what it says in Exodus 15-26. It says, and this is what the Lord was speaking to the Israelites. It says, if you are diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I'll put none of the diseases of you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. So what he's saying this, if you just obey God, if you just try to do everything you can, not to lie, amen, not to steal, not to take anything from anybody that's not yours, Not to do any of these things that you're praying every day, God, lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. When you start praying prayers like that every day, guess what? It's going to be easy to live for God. See, the reason why it's hard for us to obey God, because we're not praying and we're not in the Word like we need to be. But if you start reading the Bible and you start praying and asking God to deliver you from evil, amen, that you start asking God to keep you from temptation, guess what God's going to do? He's going to do that. He's going to help you walk every day for him. Because all you have to do in this faith walk is to live every day, one day at a time. And if you can live one day for Christ, you can live a lifetime for Christ. In other words, some of us live, you know, we come in, we put our God hat on Sunday morning. We got our God hat on. And then we go, we leave the church, and then we put our world hat on. And we live like the world. Amen. But why don't you put your God hat on and keep it on? You say, you don't supposed to wear a hat in church. No, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that you need to put the God mode on. In other words, you're worshiping Sunday morning. You're coming to hear the word. Why don't you live a life of the word and prayer every day of your life? And it doesn't take, you don't have to pray all day long, read the Bible all day long. Just give God 15 minutes in the morning. Give him a little bit of time and start praying and seeking God. And guess what? He's going to help you live this righteous life that he's calling you to live. And guess what? You're going to be walking in health. You're going to be walking in prosperity. You're going to be walking in blessings. You're going to be seeing the grace of God in your lives. Amen. Glory to God. Walking in love towards God and people keeps the blessing of healing in our lives. Amen. Somebody asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said in Matthew 22 and 36 through 40, he said there's two, and they're very closely linked. He said the first commandment is to love your Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's okay to pray and ask God, God, help me love you. Amen. If you're having a hard time loving God, God, help me love you. And if you get into his word, you'll get addicted to his word and you will start loving God. In other words, he's an addiction that you need to have. And so I love that. So Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love your Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind. And he said the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. So what he's saying here, he's saying you don't need to focus on the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not. You need to focus on the two commandments, thou shalt. And if you focus on the two commandments, thou shalt, instead of thou shalt not, I can't do this and I can't do that. No, there's something you can do. What can I do? I can love God and I can love people and I can love myself. Amen. So you can focus on thou shalt instead of thou shalt not. Because when we're focused on what we can't do, we want to do it. I can't do that, man. And flesh says, man, you want to do that. So, but if we're focused on what we can do, amen, you can love God. You can love people. Amen. Then number two, if we understand that walk in love towards God and people, that helps us keep the healing in our lives, that we keep our healing flowing in our lives. As we keep our healing flowing in our lives, we got to understand that God is a merciful God. In other words, that God is merciful. God's not looking to judge anybody. He's looking to forgive us. He's not looking to judge you for your sin. The Bible says he's looking to forgive you of your sin. Amen. And I like what it says in Exodus 34, 4 and 6. It says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed to the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Now, this is Moses, and he was on top of the mountain with the Lord, and he wanted to see God's goodness. And Moses, just before that, broke the Ten Commandments. He was up there with the Lord for 40 days, came down. The children of Israel were worshiping a cow. They were worshiping a golden calf. And Moses got so angry. Remember, Moses had anger issues? Anybody have any anger issues in here? And Moses got so mad at the work that he did with God, he broke. And then he came back up on the mountain and said, God, can I see your goodness? And then God said, or see your glory. And God said, you can't see my glory, but I'll show you my goodness. And then the Lord passed by him in the cloud. And the Lord said, I'm a merciful. God wanted to show Moses not his power, not his strength, not how he can crush his enemies. God wasn't showing that to Moses. God was showing Moses his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. He said, the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and in truth. That's the loving Heavenly Father that we serve, glory to God. I love that. I love what it says in Psalms 103, 8 through 13. It said, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. You know, it's interesting. When I got saved on a Sunday night in church. Thank God they had the church open on Sunday night. And I got saved on Sunday night. And I remember when they asked for sinners to come up to the altar. That was the old school way of getting saved. You had to walk up to the altar. And I remember when I was walking up to the altar to get saved, I was nervous because I was living my life not for God, but for myself. I was living on the wild side. And I was doing all the wrong things. And I was nervous to meet God. And I was shaking like a leaf, like, oh my gosh, I wonder what God's going to do. He's you know, and I wasn't too sure if he was going to accept me. And so when I went down that altar and I bowed my knees and I confessed that sinner's prayer and I asked God to forgive me, he accepted me. And I'm telling you, he didn't care about, see, God doesn't care about your past. He's more interested in your future than your past. And a lot of us are so focused on our past, and we got to get good before we get God. No, you just got to bow your knee before Jesus, and his power will make you good. You believe that today? And so I love that. So God is merciful. He's loving. He's kind. And I love that. So we need to focus on that. And you know, Jesus was, one day he was speaking, and Jesus was talking about to the Pharisees as they were trying to be legalistic and they were following the laws. And the Pharisees were legalistic, but they weren't relational. And so Jesus said to the Pharisees, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, in Matthew 23:23, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint of anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters, the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So Jesus was exhorting them in their tithing, but he says it's not all about tithing. It's about walking in love and mercy and faith. And when we focus on that, it's not just about paying your dues. It's about walking in love, mercy, and faith. Paying your dues makes you think that God owes you. And I'm going to say this, God doesn't owe us anything. We owe him everything. And a lot of times, don't get in this attitude because you're serving God, God owes you. No, we owe him. And when we get a revelation that we owe him, we're going to move forward in our faith in Jesus. God loves us so much, and he doesn't want us walking in fear. And whenever we get a doctor's report, sometimes we get in fear, and when we need to come out of fear. And when you're rooted and grounded in God's love, then you have no fear, because love casts out fear. Do you believe that today? And so when we're walking in God's love, we will come out of fear. I like some of these scriptures. Whenever you get a bad report, focus on a scripture like this in Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So whenever you get a bad doctor's report, whenever you get sick, don't fear, have faith. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And so we need to learn to walk in love. And when you're rooted and grounded in God's love, you're going to receive the healing power of God in your life. So let me close here by giving you some keys. Number one, if you're going to walk in the love of God, you must love him and love people. Number one, get into a good church where you can love God and love people. If you don't have a church home, I believe this is a great one. Come to church and watch God build your life. And don't stop coming to church. And I'm telling you, when you start coming to church and you start serving God, you start loving on God and loving on people, you're going to see the grace of God in your lives. Amen. Hallelujah. And don't let the enemy of your soul keep you from giving. So when you come to church, be prepared to give some offerings, some tithes, so that you can be a blessing into the kingdom, so God can be a blessing to you. Don't stop giving your financial blessings. Amen? Amen. And number three, don't harbor ill will towards anybody. In other words, release all hurt and pain. And if you release all hurt and pain, ask God to help you. There are people that do you wrong, and you may know somebody that has done you wrong. Don't harbor ill will or bitterness. The Bible says vengeance belongs to God. In other words, you're not the one to even up the score. God is. And if you pray for those that do you wrong, if you pray for them, do good to those that despitefully use you, then you're going to turn it around. And eventually they're going to feel, you know, embarrassed by how they treat you. And your enemies can turn into your friends. I'm going to say that again. Your enemies can end up becoming your friends. Why? Because you're praying for them. They're coming out of the snare of the devil. If they're doing wrong things, they're sowing bad seed. If they continue to sow bad seed without repentance, judgment will fall. And you're going to pray, and you're not going to hold them in check. You're going to pray and ask God to visit these people that do you wrong. You're going to release all hurt and pain. And when you are operating in the love of God, loving people, coming to church, giving, forgiving others, you're going to see the grace of God in your lives. You're going to see the healing power work in your lives. You're going to see God do something amazing, and you will walk out this life, a life of faith and a life of victory. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that you are good and merciful, loving and kind. And I thank you that your mercies abound. I thank you, Father, for the precious people in here this morning, those that are listening or watching. And perhaps you never bowed your knee to Jesus. You never confessed the lordship of Jesus Christ. The Bible says if you confess Jesus before people down here, he will confess you before the Father and the angels up in heaven. And I want Jesus representing me. So if you're ready and you never confessed the lordship of Jesus Christ, you can do that today. Bring Jesus into your equation. Just say this simple prayer, meaning in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.